often. It's death that produces life, even in ministry. You know, I remember the season when God spoke to me, and this is the thing, when God brings us to a place where we have to die, we don't know that there's resurrection around the corner. Right now, we're just gonna pray. So if you just shut your eyes. Father God, Lord God, I surrender to your word, to your purposes, to your plans. Father, would you use this mouth for this moment as your mouthpiece? And would you speak into the hearts of your people? And right now, with your eyes shut, if you put your hand on your heart, and we're going to pray together and just say, Heavenly Father, would you do a work in my heart today? Speak to me, Lord God, my Father, my Master, my Creator, the lover of my soul. Speak to me, Lord God, and do something new in me that will bring glory to Jesus. And it's in his awesome name that we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. What an awesome God we serve. The title of my message today is It's All Part of the Master Plan. Now, I'm from the north of England, and so I'll say it in a soft southern way. It's all part of the master plan. That even sounds weird, because you don't say plan. It's all part of the master plan. You say master plan. So where's the sense in that? The solution? Move to the north of England and speak properly. I'm sorry, I'm joking. I want to start today with a scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm hearing my daughter just now there say, Mummy, stick to the day job. Humor is not your thing. Leave the humor to Daddy and Benji and a little bit to me. Anyway, Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm reading this in the Amplified Classic, and it says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. And right now say, it's all part of his master plan. It says, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Do you know we serve a God who is into the long term way more than he's into the short term? How many of you have heard that expression? Long term gain often requires short term pain. You know, and we serve a God who has your very best interests at heart. But his concern is the final outcome. I want to go, really, since Friday morning, God has placed this passage on my heart. And funnily enough, at our online all night, my husband just referenced this word at the end of the all night. But in John 15, verses 1 to 2, and we hear Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father, again, this is the Amplified Classic, and my Father is the vine dresser. In other words, my Father is the gardener. In other words, our Heavenly Father is the one who wanders around his garden and decides when things need to be uprooted and when things need to be planted. And then I'm going to jump to verse 2, halfway through. It says, he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. And I want to stop there for a moment. Do you hear? This says that our Father God repeatedly prunes and cleanses every branch that continues to bear fruit. Why? He does it for a reason. Our Father God prunes for a reason, and it says here, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Listen, I want you to know God has a plan for your life, and he wants you to bear more fruit than you've ever borne. He wants you to bear fruit that's greater, that's richer, that's deeper, that's more excellent. He has a master plan. But in order to get there, he has to do some things. And I just want to ask if we can have the first image on the screen. Because you see, pruning is a gardening term. And I want you to notice this first picture. Because here we see what looks to me like a really beautiful rose bush. It looks to me like those roses are lovely. And also, it's not just one rose there. There's two roses, at least, on that rose bush, and maybe more out of screen. And yet, here we see the gardener literally taking the pruning shears to those very branches where there already is fruit. What's my point? And I really want you to hear this. There are times when God comes and he literally cuts off what is good to make room for what is great. You know what? There have been things that have been cut out of your life this year, things that were good. Friendships, time with people, opportunities. But you know, when he cuts off what it's good, it's because he has a plan, a master plan. And you know, I believe with all of my heart that we are in a season of pruning. We're in a season when God is saying, I want to prune you because I've got so much ahead that I need to do through you. And in order for you to become great, I need to prune off what is good. Because you see, you see this bush, honestly and truthfully? I think it looks lovely. I don't mind staying looking like that if that was me, if I was a bush. You understand what I'm saying? It's great. Quite happy. But God says, I've got a plan for you that's greater than you could ever know. I want to take you further and higher and deeper and wider in my purposes. I want to make a statement. Contentment is not the goal. Fulfillment is the goal. You see, that thing looks great. Can we go to the second picture now? How many of you are feeling a bit like that bush? You see, here we see a rose bush that has been pruned. And everything that made that rose bush look beautiful has been chopped off. And all you can see is wood and thorns. Everything that made it shine has gone. But you see, I want to say it again. God has a master plan. And the process right now of pruning that you're in is part of his master plan. And I just want us finally to look at the outcome of that rose bush. Can you see how many flowers are blooming on that rose bush post-pruning? You see, there's a purpose for your process to bring you into a place where you can bear much fruit and great fruit and more excellent fruit. But we need to submit to the process. I want to look at another scripture, John 12, verse 24. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation. You know, let me just make a comment, because as a pastor, it's important that we understand things. So there are some translations of the Bible which have got a whole team of people that work together to bring about a translation, because the Bible says that scriptures have no private interpretation. Some translations have been done by one person, and so we should never use those translations in isolation. We should use them as an additional provision of understanding with another one. Okay, so the Passion Translation, awesome, written by one person. So John 12, verse 24 says, or not written by one person, translated by one person. John 12, 24 in the Passion Translation says this: "Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies. Because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat. All because one grain died." You know what? I think this season has felt like a season of dying. How many of you felt like you've died several times? You've been killed several times, you know? But what did Paul the Apostle say? I die daily. And I think in our society, it's so easy to almost think that comfort is somehow something that we should expect. Jesus promised us many things, but he never promised us a comfortable life. You see, he's more concerned with the big picture than he is with our individual creature comforts, if you like. So very often, it's death that produces life. Even in ministry, you know, I remember the season when God spoke to me. And this is the thing, when God brings us to a place where we have to die, we don't know that there's resurrection around the corner. I mean, Jesus knew he would be resurrected, but most times when we lay something down, we lay it down wholeheartedly, saying, "God, I no longer am going to have my hands on this." And I remember the season when God spoke to me, and actually he used Acts 6, and some of the senior leadership team who've been with us for a long time will remember when I sat with them and I said, you know, I know that just as there was a time in the growth of the early church when God spoke to the leaders and said, you know what, we've got to dedicate ourselves to prayer and fasting. So let's raise up people to do all the administration. And I know people like Prempe and Pastor Temi will remember this season when I said to our senior leadership team, I feel we've got to remove all the administration from my husband. But in that time, God also spoke to me and he said, Joe, lay down every single dream you've got of ministry. Lay it all down, everything that you've wanted to do, everything that's been in your heart. Lay it all down, just put it at the altar and just serve your husband. And for a long season, I don't know how long it lasted, my entire focus became, Lord God, all I want to do is to facilitate and to support this person's ministry. You know what? There is something so powerful about being able to say, you know what? I want to live my life in order to see someone else's life blossom. And for that time, I laid down all my dreams and I just said, my role is facilitation. You see, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. And, you know, I gave all that up, and it was relatively hard at the time. But you know what? When we love God, nothing's that hard, is it? Never knowing that several years later, it was in 2015 when my husband said, Joe, I'm going to lay down all my international ministry so that you can go. You know, there are times when God just asks us to put a steak knife through the things we love the most, because he's saying, I need some death in you because I want to bring my life through you. You see, I believe that many of us in this season, we have been attending university. But let me tell you which university it is. It's the University of Adversity. It's the place where we experience pressure, pain, hardship, stress, strain, and where God does a deep work in our hearts and lives. I want to read to you Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. And it says, you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. You know, sometimes God leads us. It's not that he does, is the orchestrator ever of chaos, but he allows us to come literally up close and personal with devastation, with disaster, with chaos, with difficulty, because he wants to see how we'll behave in the midst of the wilderness. You see, what does it say there? To humble you and test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. You know, Ruth made a statement many years ago that I've never forgotten, and it was this: don't waste your pain. Pain can produce something in us. Pain is an opportunity for us to find out who we really are, whose we really are, what's in our hearts. Because when we're in a lot of pain and pressure, then we discover by the choices we make. You know, I'm going to read Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. And again, this is in the Passion Translation. And I just want you to really hear the words and how this is expressed. And this is David, Psalm 139, that amazing, beautiful psalm where David says, you know, wherever I go, you're there with me. You know me completely. You know my rising up, my lying down. You know a thought before I think it. You know a word before it's on my mouth. You know me. Listen to this. God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test. Sift through all my anxious cares. Now listen to this. See if there is any path of pain that I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious, everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. See if there's any path of pain. Now, here, in the Amplified Classic, that little phrase is, see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me. You know what? I believe God is asking us right now to ask him to search our hearts. Father, is there any way that I'm behaving that is hurting other people? Is there anything in me that's hurting you or hurting your people? You see, God is saying, I want to do a work deep on the inside of you because I know where I want to take you out the other side. I know the people I want to use you to help, but it requires a plunging. You know, I said don't waste your pain a minute ago. I can honestly say that that the season where I saw my heart get plunged deeper than it had ever been before was in a season of terrible grieving. And my heart got plunged so deep, I ached in places I didn't know existed before that. But out the other side of that, guess what? My heart was deeper. My heart had a greater capacity to love, to give. You see, God is saying to us this morning, he's saying, will you allow me to shine my light into the depths of your heart and to do something new in you, to take you deeper? And I have felt the Lord speaking to us about hardness of heart. You know, someone once said, this isn't scripture, but someone once said that the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. Wow. Indifference. And I really believe there is great truth in that. And let me explain why. You see, hardness of heart doesn't often produce hate. I mean, it does sometimes. Hardness of heart is definitely a symptom where there's a root of bitterness. But And that will normally be accompanied with hate. But let me tell you, hardness of heart, more often than not, doesn't produce hate. It produces indifference. You know, my husband and I did a marriage seminar on Zoom for another church in London. And one of the questions that someone asked was, what do I do if I've fallen out of love? You see, the opposite of love very often is indifference. But it happens when our hearts have become hard. You know, I want to ask you right now, in this moment, will you search your heart? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart, to shine his light into your heart? Have you become in any way a bit hard, indifferent towards the Lord God, maybe? Maybe you just don't wake up as in love with the Lord as you used to. Maybe when you hear of great miracles or testimonies, instead of jumping up and celebrating, you think, oh, well, whatever. You know, maybe it's hardness towards the Lord, but maybe it's hardness towards other people. And that is how that manifests. It's an indifference. You know, and marriage is one of those greenhouses. It's one of those pressure places where God takes us. You see, I don't think marriage is just about companionship. I think marriage is also about transformation. I think marriage is about the power of what God can produce in one human being by putting them in this up close and personal arena with another human being. And if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. But you see, if you look at your spouse and you feel an indifference, do you know what? I want to ask you right now to ask the Lord Jesus, Lord, will you do a work in my heart? And let me make another statement. You see, when my heart hardens, do you know, it's not usually something that's just an emotional reaction. The hardening of the heart is an act of the will, which is why at Life Changes yesterday, we were talking about love and someone was asking, is love a feeling or is it, you know, what is it? And I said, yes, love is an emotion, but it's maintained by our will, our choices. Because when we feel a little less in love, that's when we engage our will that says, I'm going to do something loving. I'm going to say something loving. I am going to reach out in love to that one that God has placed in my life as an act of my will. Because when we use our will and align it with his purposes, you know what? The love then flows. The feelings flow. When we make sure that our will is aligned with his will. You know, our heart's becoming hard, or it isn't just something that happens. It's not something that we can say, well, you know, it's out of my control. It wasn't my choice. I didn't mean. No, you see, if my heart becomes hard, I can just engage my will to get myself back into the place that God wants me. I was trying to work out whether to share this little story, and I think I will, because it is funny. Yes, I like to pamper my husband. Yeah, he's there sort of with his hand raised like this. I like to pamper my husband, and he goes through a lot being married to me, and so I make him breakfast in bed in the morning, and but at night, I put face cream on his face. Yes, I do. I cream his face. And you know the worst bit is when I'm away, does he cream his face? No, he doesn't. He only creams his face when I'm doing it. I mean, I think next time when the world reopens and I start traveling again, I give every single harvester the permission to say, Pastor P, did you cream? Because you need to keep your face looking young, my love. But I cream his face, and I do it at night, and it's very sweet. And he doesn't want his whole face doing; he just wants his. Anyway, that's not relevant. But anyway, but the thing is, you know, one thing I noticed, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, is there was a few days in a row where I was just cross about things. I was just upset with him. I can't even remember why, but a few days in a row, at bedtime, I was just like. But you know what? That act of my will, you see, I could have thought, well, I'm not creaming his face tonight. What are the things you do for the people you love? This isn't a marriage talk I'm giving right now, you understand. This is a love talk. This is a heart talk about how we keep our hearts tender before God. You see? Do we stop doing the things that we once did? Or do we use the things that we always do as a way of keeping our hearts tender? So what I noticed is, you know, I would put the cream on my fingers, you know, and when you've got that for a moment attitude where you think, I want to slap his face. I don't want to cream his face, you know? And it's great because it's online church. He's way at the back of the room and he can't like give me all grimacing faces or anything. But you know that I want to slap your face. But of course, no, I'm going to use my will. And so I'm creaming his face and I'm like, Father, thank you for this man. I love this man. Lord, would you bless. You know, by the time I finished the, 25 seconds it takes to cream a man's face, my heart is tender. You know what? A hard heart isn't okay. It's not okay for me to have a hard heart towards anyone, towards a friend that God's placed in my life, towards somebody that I'm supposed to be serving, or somebody that I'm supposed to be receiving from, or some. You see, hardness of heart kept the Israelites out of the promised land. Hardness of heart is a big deal. You remember, we serve a God and he is love. He isn't just loving. You know, the Bible says that God is patient, but it doesn't say he is patience. The Bible says that God is merciful, but it doesn't say God is mercy. The Bible says God is loving, but it also says God is love. So when I am behaving without love, then I am in that place where I need to get back right with God. I need my heart to be right with God. You know one thing? I'm so grateful for the pressure of leadership. I've always said it. I feel it so much that pressure of leadership, and what I mean by that is I don't mean the pressure to get a word from heaven. No, that's God's job. He gives the word. I don't mean the pressure of everyone else's burdens and cares. No, we're supposed to cast them. I mean that I'm grateful for the pressure of leadership, which means I've got to keep my heart right before God, which means I can't allow offenses or hardness or issues to stay in my heart. I've got to keep searching. I remember hearing about the interview between Joel Osteen and Oprah Winfrey. He did an interview with Oprah Winfrey, and she asked him some sort of question about how he handles all the fame. And he says, well, you know what I do every week? I go into the presence of God and say, search my heart, Lord. Try me and see if there's anything wicked on the inside of me. In other words, the way he handles the lights and the spotlight and the success that God has given him is that he keeps his heart under the constant scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. You know what? This is our season for pruning. This is the season when God is saying, allow me to do something new in you that will bring glory to Jesus. I just want to ask if I can have the keyboardist. That would be wonderful. And I just want to read Hebrews 3, verse 15 to you. And it says this, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You see, as we bring 2020 to a close, you know, finishing strong means lots of things. Because strength, in God's estimation, isn't just determination and pressing in prayer and fighting in faith. Strength, in God's estimation, is also having a heart that is tender before the presence of God. You know, David, King David messed up more times than we all know. So much of it written in the books of history for all of us to know about. But he was so quick to come to God and say, will you do a work on the inside of me? Lord, I feel like I know you so well, and you know me so well, and yet I'm saying once again, would you search me and try me and do something new in me? Right now, I want to ask you at home just to stand in the presence of God, just wherever you are right now, stand up. And just shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. And lift up your hands before him. That universal sign of surrender. I just sense by the Spirit of God, there's some of you and there's been little rocks in your heart. And those rocks have been excuses. This is why I'm this way. This is why I'm allowed to feel like this. But you know, the Lord says, will you lay down the reasons why your heart has become hard? Will you lay down the reasons why you've behaved the way you've behaved? And instead, will you come into my presence and ask me to do a new work in you? Thank you, Lord God. Father, right now, we stand before you. You are the master of all. You are our creator. Thank you, Lord God, that the goal is not contentment. The goal is not my enjoyment. The goal is fulfillment of every plan and purpose that you have. So right now, with your eyes shut and your hands raised, just talk to the Lord. Just tell him you surrender. If you realize your heart has become hard towards anyone, and that might not be the heart issue that God has raised in you and shown you, but I believe with all of us, the Lord is searching our hearts because we've asked him to. And whatever the Lord has shown you just bring it to him now. Lord, we're so sorry for every time we've allowed hardness into our hearts. But I thank you, Lord God, that you've given us this whole area in our soul called our will. And right now, Lord God, we surrender our will to your will, and we will use our will to correct ourselves when our hearts aren't right. Lord God, not my will, but your will be done in me, in my heart, that Jesus may be glorified. Hallelujah.